Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wholehearted Loving. I'm Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Georgiana.
Today, we are going to be talking about energy, what brings us energy, what activities we can do to raise our energy. Before we do that, we are going to start with a body-based self-connection practice to connect with ourselves before we connect with each other and this podcast.
Nice. Oh, energy. I think that just makes me want to move my body around a little bit. So let's begin by just following your body's impulse for movement. If you're watching, you can see what that means to Steph right now.
I'm feeling silly this morning.
Feeling silly. All right. Let's go with this one. So we'll pair a little bit of gentle movement with breath. So first finding your anchoring spot. Mine is my butt on the ottoman. Allowing that to be a reminder to notice your breath. And on the next inhale, I like to inhale through my nose. You can do it in whatever way feels good. Inhale just to sit tall, whatever that means to you. It might be bringing the chin up and the crown of the head lifting. Could be straightening the back. And on the exhale, just turn to the right. And then reset back to looking forward when you're ready. You can use your hands to guide you if that feels good. And then again, when you're ready, just sitting tall on the inhale. Exhale, turning to the left. Coming back to reset. I like to do things in sets of three, so I'm just going to do this two more times. So we're inhaling, sitting tall. Exhale to twist. Resetting at center. And then coming back to sitting or standing or laying in a way that's comfortable to you. Giving yourself a little time for that sigh, if there is that sigh, or just noticing how that felt for you in your body.
I enjoy twisting my spine.
Me too. I try to bring some version of it into every day. I'm a better person when I do it. It's in a better mood. I'm a nicer person.
That's so great, like discovering these tiny things about ourselves. Like, I am a better person when I spend time twisting my spine in the morning. It's like, what a powerful tiny tool that's totally doable almost all the time, you know?
It is. Yeah, that's what I think I've really benefited from trying a bunch of these little practices, ones like we share on this podcast, and noticing how my body feels, noticing what feels good, what doesn't, what feels neutral. Because it helps me become aware of how things impact my body. We're talking about energizing today, right? But I always notice, hey, when I lay on the floor, and for me specifically, it's the floor, not the bed. There's something about the firmness and the sturdiness of the floor where my body can just sink in. I can relax in a very different way. It regulates my nervous system in a very different way. If you haven't done much floor work, meaning just laying and rolling around on the floor and noticing how different things feel for your body, I would highly encourage that. But I notice when I do certain twists, and when I pair it with breath and there's a slowness to it, and it's not very long. Like I said, I like to do things in sets of three. I do three on each side and then I'm up and I go. But I definitely notice that I'm just in a better mood. I'm more connected to myself. My body feels like the flow of energy more. And I can tell on days that I haven't done things like that. Not that I feel off, but not as good as I could. And if it's something that takes me seriously less than 90 seconds,
Right.
Maybe even less than a minute. Mm. Why not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes me think of the energy of children. And like, at what point do we get up off the floor and plunk ourselves into an office chair or a bed or a sofa and never return? You know, those energizing movements and connection points that just sort of go away for us unless we bring attention there.
Mm-hmm. Makes a huge difference for me. I find, yeah. I learn better when I'm actually laying around in weird positions.
Yeah, that's interesting and really good to know also.
Yeah.
Totally. When you brought up this topic this morning, it resonated with me a lot. There are so many different ways that I can generate energy and that energy like comes to me, and they're not just physical, they're also spiritual and vibrational. So I think this is a really neat topic here. You introduced the topic this morning. Is there anything you want to say to start us off?
Well, let me see. Where did this come from? I'm a total dork, and I'm a very curious dork, and I like to ask questions. And so one of the things I have is just a collection of cards that sort of spawned my brain even more into being curious and stepping into that part of me. And so one of the cards that I pulled today says, what makes you feel the most energized? And there's a whole stack of cards, but there's a particular reason why I chose this one to talk about on this podcast, because I thought, how cool is it when we are aware of what makes us feel energized? And then to notice, do I actually spend time doing the things that make me feel energized? Or do I just know they do and I don't actually do any of them? I don't make time for any of them. Or was there one part of my life where I knew I did this thing that made me feel energized, but now I'm in a different season of life where I can't do that thing in that way anymore? And so I just think it's gone forever. Mm. And I talked to a lot of people who have lived that, like before they were, you know, had families and children and obligations and whatever. They're like, oh, I loved doing this. I felt so great doing that. And we go on to, you know, chat about whether they do any of that for themselves anymore. And they're like, oh yeah, no, not at all. And we always explore that a little bit to see if we can bring a little bit of curiosity into what it was exactly that gave them that feeling of feeling energized, what it contributed to how they felt, to their well-being, to their life, and what other ways they could think about bringing that into their life in a way that fits the season of life they're in now. Mm. And they always get very excited when they realize there's still a possibility to have a bit of that experience. So I thought this was an interesting question to explore, for those reasons, I guess.
Mm, I love that. Yeah. So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're talking about the mundane earthly behaviors that a human being can do, like movement, exercise, nutrition, sleep, play, that kind of stuff. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I'm thinking like the very pragmatic day-to-day elements you can bring into your life. But of course, there's many ways to feel energized, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone's going to interpret this question and this topic very differently, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it generates so much different stuff for me. The first thing on my list, I could power a spaceship launch with the amount of energy I get from being in love.
Hmm. That's so cute. So sweet.
You know?
Spaceship launch. Wow.
Yeah. a lot of energy. Like I could do anything. And I haven't been in love in 7 years, but at that time I like launched a new career and had this just shocking amounts of energy, and like it's so generative and creative and full and like omnipresent, you know, while it's happening kind of thing. Compare that to like going to the gym and like
what could that fuel?
Well, this is actually where I noticed the
what's that What could that fuel? A little scooter going down the block?
A turtle crawling? Like, I mean, this is what I'm saying, is it depends so much on my internal energies and like my state of mind, you know? Mm-hmm. I started going back to the gym a while ago, and it was partly because I was feeling low and I was like, okay, I need to do all the things that help me generate energy. Mm-hmm. And there's all the endorphins and stuff, right? But I found myself at the end of like a 2-hour workout, and like, I'm not mucking around. I'm working out. And I expected all these endorphins, but at the end I was on the bike for the cool down and I was like, why do I still feel like crying? Like, this is a ripoff. I'm supposed to feel all endorphin rushy right now. Like, what is this? And I ran into a friend actually that day and I told him that that's what was going on. And he's like, exactly, like completely. I'm here for the same reasons and I'm having the same ripoff experience. Like, what is this? And we realized we should have some tea and connect energetically. And then that felt, you know, I think we felt better after like a 5-hour chat with tea than we did after 2 hours at the gym.
That's what's, I mean, is awesome about this, to know that some days it might be a workout at the gym. Mm-hmm. Or it might have been one season of life, it was a workout at the gym that energizes you. It could be, I thought that it should energize me because everyone says it should energize me and it actually doesn't, right? What I really need in this season of my life or today was a tea with a friend and to connect human to human and have that be a source of energy, right? So It's about knowing ourselves to know moment to moment what would feel energizing today. And if it isn't the workout, are you willing, like what was cool was you're willing to try something. You're like, well, let's go to the gym. And then you notice, wasn't really the thing. I feel ripped off. And then you're open to the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. I liked the phrase trial and data. You tried something, you got some information, you changed course based on the information you got. And I think we have many sources of things that energize us, you know, and it doesn't always have to be the same thing. When you're talking about the energy you get from being in love, what it reminded me of was like, how amazing is that? And also that has a lot more variables than going to the gym or going to have coffee or tea with a friend. Right. And so, yes, of course there's things you can do to open yourself to the experience of falling in love and to being in places where you might actually meet someone to fall in love. But it's not the easiest thing to arrange on a Wednesday afternoon. So it's nice to know there's different things and nice to know which things are, you have the resource and capacity to have a larger influence on day to day, right? Have a variety of things. This also reminds me of my past experience with the gym. And feeling similar of like, I should feel good. And maybe I feel a little bit good, but it doesn't really give me that energized of a feeling. And I just returned back to the gym on my own recently. I've been working with a trainer for a while and that's fun. It was what I needed in the interim to like get off of the couch and do something again. And I had sort of dreaded, I thought I would be really good at getting myself back to the gym because for decades, you know, I just went to the gym on my own and it was great. It was fine. But I dreaded it for so long and I didn't really know why, but just didn't really do it. Finally, I felt some pull to it. And I remember I like workouts that have good music. I like workouts that have a lot of novelty and change. I just remembered all the different elements that I liked about it, right? I like them to be short or at least like not overly repetitive, doing the same thing for 45 minutes. Like that makes me want to pull my eyeballs out. And when I started again, I put all those elements in. And it wasn't, I just need to drive myself to a gym and work out for an hour. And it was super energizing because it was fun. I had fun. I think that's the thing we forget, is like to add play and fun and to see like what things connect you to joy. I think like love, falling in love connects us to joy. That's why it energizes. It's really hard to like feel connected to joy and have low energy.
Mm-hmm. It is. Right? Yeah.
So for me, it's like, what are some of these actions that I can take, but can I infuse some element of joy into them? There was a time in my life where I was experimenting with pleasure, and not just sexual pleasure, but just pleasure, like enjoying myself. And I thought, how could I make regular mundane activities feel more pleasurable? And so I gave myself the task of washing dishes in a way that felt more pleasurable. And for me, I realized music, right? Certain kind of music, it makes experience nicer. Wiggling.
Wiggling.
Well, the dishes, I would feel happier. And, you know, so it reminds me that like bringing in playfulness and something, playfulness and fun helps energize. And if you really look at your life, like how much playfulness and fun is in your life right now in general? Like how much time do you make for playfulness and fun and laughter? And then, and certain people might say, oh, I have this, this time is for that. This time is for play and this time is for fun. And also the invitation is to look at, do you bring playfulness, fun, lightness, humor into regular everyday moments and activities? And are you willing to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of these things you're describing require self-awareness and body connection, right? Like if we just get on to the human, like mill, run of the mill gym situation, or go in there, you've got your, maybe your headphones on or you're watching something and it's just like, this is gym time. Yeah. Where's the opportunity for pleasure? And like every moment informs your life and your life experience, and yeah, insert some joy and wiggles in there for heaven's sake.
And for some people, they might be able to go to the gym for 2 hours and have a very regimented workout and have that not really connected to fun and playfulness, but it will feel very energizing to them because that's how they're wired, right? Yeah. So it's really about knowing you and honoring you. I know I need novelty, I need playfulness, I need fun. Mm-hmm. And that's going to change energy for me.
Yeah. I mean, that's making me think of the difference between like, I have energy today, and like, I'm bubbling forth with energy. You know, there are ways to generate more of that in, but you have to give attention to it and to be able to notice it in your body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It made me think of, you know, when we're feeling tired, lower energy, and you've got to go do a task, or you've got to go spend time with people that you're like, oh God, right? But then you think of, oh, if I were to see this person, I would bring a different kind of energy. That's what it was really interesting that like the other day I noticed, oh, like I have a pattern sometimes of thinking, oh, when I've got to pick up the kids, oh, I'm low energy, I'm tired. But if I was like going to meet a friend and having a coffee, yes, that would create a different kind of energy because we're different people and like the task is different. I'm not taking care of anyone. But I also know I'd walk into that connection with a different kind of energy. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of gave myself the challenge of like, well, if I would go for a coffee right now with a friend bringing a certain kind of energy, why can I not bring that kind of energy to go pick up my kids and greet them with that kind of energy? And those are the things I think that are easy to not think about and just to assume when I have to do this task, it's always with this kind of energy. If I get to do that kind of task or be with that person, I get to be in that energy. And I don't think it's that black and white. I think we have a lot more control and influence than we imagine we do.
For sure. Yeah. This is reminding me of your big why, you know, so you've got some sales job and you're drudging every day and you just don't really want to be there. And then your sales manager in all good spirits will say, let's connect you back to your big why. You know, what are your reasons for being here? What is the energy behind what has brought you here? And that is an element where we have a huge amount of choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that helps me. This is like a very simple, I don't know if it's like a mind hack or whatever, but I definitely can feel the difference energetically when I see life through the lens. And I remember hearing about it years ago when my kids were young, when you're going through like early motherhood and you're exhausted, or I was exhausted, and probably someone suggesting this to me and me thinking about it first got a lot of defenses up, like, screw that, that's a dumb idea, how can that make a difference? Mm-hmm. But then I decided to be open to it and see what really happened, and I was surprised at what a difference it made, which was shifting from I have to I get to. And I remember at the time it was like, I have to get up at 4:45 in the morning to wake my kid up to go to hockey practice many times a week. That really sucks because I don't want to get up at 4:45 in the morning to do that, especially when it's cold and it's dark out. And so I thought, let's just try this experiment. You know, people say if you shift your mind to thinking that you get to do something. And I think at that time I was already pretty connected to body experience. So I'm like, okay, I want to not just connect it to a mind experience, but I want to notice what happens in my body when I go there. Mm-hmm. So I change it to I get to. And sometimes it's hard in the beginning to think of an I get to when it's something you really don't enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. But I challenged myself. I said, I get to see the joy on my son's face and his friends' faces the second they hit the ice at 5:45 a.m. And then I pause with that. Even as I say that now, the smile wants to come on my face. Mm-hmm. Like I pause, I'm like, oh, that's a really special moment. Mm-hmm. Right? I love seeing, like, one of the funnest things for me as a mom to see is not necessarily when they're playing a game and they're winning or anything like that, but it's to see the little moments of interaction between my kid and his teammates, and they have smiles on their faces. And if I pause with that, I feel warm inside. A smile comes to my face, and that's my I get to. Right? I get to be part of this thing that allows my kid to have this experience and me to have this experience of watching his joy. And then all of a sudden, getting up at 4:45, it feels a bit different. It doesn't feel like such a sludging experience where I feel sorry for myself. Right? Yeah. And there's a way to do this where it's really just a heady thing, and we're just sort of white knuckling our way through and trying to just convince ourselves that we're lucky we get to do this. But that's not what I'm going for. Like, if you get that response, then it, for me, that means like it hasn't landed in your body. Your body hasn't given you that, oh, yeah, that is a really cool thing. So keep trying and seeing what your I get to is. Say a few things out loud. Your body is going to give you that acknowledgement in some way that you're like, yeah, that's my I get to.
I get to, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, my tendency is to take things very broad and universal. So then I think, well, if you knew this was going to be the last day that you get to get up at 4:45 to take your kid to hockey, how might your energy shift?
Well,
if you guys
have
been stuck totally in a detention center for 2 years and today was the day you get to be free and go to hockey at 4:45, you know, totally different energy.
Totally different. And I don't think that's like fooling ourselves. I think it's just expanding our lens, right? To see it from a different perspective. And I think it's an important lens to practice expanding. Someone had once said, where you are today in whatever realm in your life, right, is where someone else dreams of being.
Yeah.
And that really hit me. It's a good reminder of perspective, right? Right? Exactly what you just said. Like, if it's your last opportunity to do this.
Yeah.
If
and
you
the
never,
thing is, it always might be. Like, the drudging of doing it every day, it's you immediately almost lose sight of that. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Any of us could get hit by a bus any minute. It could always be our last day. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Finding some energy there.
Yeah. So I like this, knowing that I can bring a certain energy, right? Mm. I like thinking like, yeah, which things energize me and am I willing to carve out more time to do some of those things? I want to talk about a little bit more about this first and then maybe talking about the energy that we bring. So when I talk about this with seasons of our life, there was a season of my life where what brought me energy was to go on hikes that were 5 to 7 hours long.
Hmm.
And then there's a season of my life where it's harder to do that now. At that time, I had a group of preschool moms. We managed to get, I think, like one day off every weekend. And we would go rain or shine. It was the day we all had childcare. We'd make sure it happened. Maybe it wasn't once a week, but occasionally we'd plan these hikes. And they were so energizing to me. And then, you know, kids go out of preschool, they go into school, and you sort of drift apart as the group. And we didn't really have that group of people anymore. And if you've ever hiked for 5 to 7 hours, you know that you have to like the people that you're with. You have to want to spend that much time with them. People have to have a somewhat similar schedule. You have to have a similar way of enjoying the experience and certain level, right, of comfort. So I didn't have that in my life anymore in the same way. Like, it wasn't set up in the same way where it was easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sort of fell away a little bit. And then I realized I don't have to. I could, if I wanted to, I could find another group of people to hike for 5 to 7 hours at a time with. But in the meantime, I don't have to trash it all together. What were the elements that I enjoyed? And so for me, it was the fresh air, the smell of the air after it had rained, being in the forest. I liked the strenuousness of it, but it wasn't too overly difficult. I liked the social connection of it. So I thought, what are smaller ways to get that in? So it was, going with one friend for a 45-minute nature walk. It's not the same. But I realized it still energized me more than sitting on my couch and surfing my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So being willing to look at an all or something version of what once brought you to that energized place really helped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are two activities that I think physically and emotionally and spiritually can either make you heavier, more dense, sitting on the couch, eating, filling yourself with energy that's not going anywhere, or moving and being with people. These are lightening energies.
Right? Moving, being with people, being in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Those All are big. That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's really important too for people who are doing inner work. And I know our teacher Phil talks about this with conscious relationship training, which is pretty intense encounter group shadow work therapies. They can really lower your energy, make it heavy and dark. And you're taking on a lot of learning energy and some painful self-discovery kind of stuff that can really darken your energy and bring it lower. So high vibe activities. I think there's ways to really tritely talk about what's high vibe. And then there's a real serious thing here that I think is very important for people to do, raising their vibration through activities, rituals, self-care, music, things that play. Lighten your spirit. Play. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's important, and especially in the realm of shadow work, which to me is allowing space for there to be all parts of yourself, right? There can be a part of yourself that's really interested in being introspective and self-aware and deep and curious. And do you also honor the part that might need some or be ready for play, lightness, humor, right? Mm-hmm. That was a part of me that really wasn't encouraged in childhood. And so I can get very much into that serious place of like, let's do inner work. Let's do healing work. Let's, you know, understand myself better. Let's work on shifting patterns. And, you know, it was work for me to learn how to make space for the lighter stuff, the more playful stuff. And to see that as actually a very important part of healing and self-acceptance and growth. And Shalina, you know, from Rising Woman, she talks about that all the time. Like, can you bring some playfulness into this too? It's not supposed to just be dark and heavy all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think watching her from afar in those beginning years when I had first met her, that was something I admired. This person who has such an ability to look inward and be self-responsible and to connect with such, I think, deep parts of herself. And where there were painful parts, and wanting to heal those parts. And yet she was also like the goofiest person I'd ever met. I was like, how could someone be so like studious and serious about inner work and healing and also like wild?
Yeah.
Like a little wild country bumpkin and so silly and making up songs about ridiculous things and laughing about the silliest things. Like that was just not on like that was just not a possibility in my mind. Like I was so conditioned to believe you could be one or the other. And right. So it was really important for me to learn how to integrate both of those things
into my life. Mm-hmm. Balance. Yeah. I love it. Levity. Thank you.
Did you want to say more about that?
No, because I'm aware of time and we've got some time limitations today. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there more on your list that you wanted to address?
I think I just wanted to say one thing, and it can be said sort of as an invitation to explore and an invitation to play and discover. Which is to notice what energy you bring to an interaction, what energy you bring into walking into a room, what energy do you bring into doing a task? Mm-hmm. And what are your typical patterns? Like what kind of energy do you typically bring to different situations, different people? And what would it feel like to try out some different energies that you bring into it?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to have it be some long thing. Could be like, for 2 minutes, I want to bring a playful energy. For 2 minutes, I want to bring, and see if you can bring a bit of a different energy than you typically bring and see what happens, right? And another way to play with this is, what do you complain to other people about that they're not bringing enough of a certain kind of energy to your connection or your dynamic? And would you be willing to bring in some of it yourself and see what happens?
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
What rooms do you walk in? What gatherings do you walk in? Do you already know what kind of energy is going to be there? And you don't love it, but you just got to go. You got to be there. And is there a different energy that you could bring in and see what happens to the energy of the room when you do that?
I love that. Yeah. I do actually want to say two more things. I had an ex who used to pick me up from work, always being miserable about how work was for her that day. Mm-hmm. And eventually I was like, hey, like, you're such a bummer. when you pick me up, you're always really miserable. And like, I'm happy to see you. Are you happy at all? And, you know, she went away and thought about it and was like, yeah, I really don't want to be bringing that energy. Like, that must be unpleasant to meet every day after work. And it's like, thank goodness, you know, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I wanted to say was about the energy that we notice is highlighted within us, depending on the activity we're doing or the people we're with. Like, there are for sure people that I know and love and want to spend time with, and it's not going to inspire the healthiest energy in me. You know, maybe it's we like to snark together or like drink alcohol or things that I don't actually want to be a big part of my life, you know? And there might be aspects of that that I do want to interact with and aspects that I don't. And just noticing also the people that I hang out with who I just feel like complete levity. I feel full. Like there are people I hang out with where later I feel like I don't even need to eat food because I'm so nourished, you know? And yeah, the choice that we have in being able to cultivate that for ourselves.
I think that's a great thing to explore too, noticing how you feel in different people's energy, right? Mm-hmm. Noticing what you bring to that dance, but also, yeah, there, you might notice some interesting things about people you spend time with, and you might want to bring some change into that. And in your case, you know, what was neat was you could just share openly, like, hey, I noticed this, and, you know, the energy I'd love to experience is more like this, right? Is that, would that be nice for you too? Or are you totally not into that?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gigi.
Hmm.
Have you a closing practice in mind? I like the wiggle because it makes me feel like a wagging dog, and then I'm just happy because I love dogs and wagging feels happy.
So how about wiggling and waggling? Isn't that a Rocky song?
Oh, yes. I should know this very well because of Ray.
Is it like shake,
shake? Yeah, shake. Shake, shake your sillies out. Shake, shake, shake your sillies out. Shake, shake, shake your sillies out and wiggle your waggles away.
You haven't listened to that Rafi song in a while. Turn it on. And shake your sillies out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can shake your sillies out. You can shake your happiness up, you know?
Happiness up. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and as I do this, I'm laughing because years ago, there would be no way I would not do this, like at all. Like, this makes me look like an idiot. I feel very awkward and weird. People can see me on a podcast now. There's no way. Like, I would just sit there and be a little bit mortified. And that, maybe this is the last thing I want to share on this, is this is not necessarily related to birth order or cultural influence. And yet it also, I think, can be impacted by that. I watched a reel recently, or no, it wasn't a reel. I was speaking to a woman recently, a Vietnamese woman, and she's the oldest and she had some, a younger sister. And she said, people always ask me why I'm so serious. They're like, your sister is so playful and fun. She's like, well, I was never allowed to be playful and fun. I had to take care of everybody. You know, I never got to be a kid. I was the oldest, you know, I had to make sure everyone was okay. So that's why I'm serious. But like underneath, I could tell like there was this playful side to her that she was sort of letting out a little bit, but she was so used to having to live in that very serious, let's take things, you know, let's take things seriously. Let's make sure everything's handled and taken care of. There's no time for playfulness and fun. And maybe some, even like my experience of like some embarrassment and awkwardness about being silly and playful and fun. And so, you know, this is just another reminder to explore, like, what were you explicitly or implicitly sort of taught about how serious you have to be, or whether you're allowed to be playful? Or maybe it was the other way around. You're only allowed to joke around and you're never allowed to be serious, or nobody's willing to see your serious side or take you seriously, right? So those are just great things to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself some permission to live into that part of yourself a little bit more.
Definitely.
Play Thank some Rafi.
Yeah.
It is Rafi.
It is Rafi. Yeah. Banana Phone is especially uplifting. Look up Rafi. You
have like a series with Rafi or something.
Yeah. And
see what happens.
Oh, that would be nice. Rafi lives on the little island where I live. Maybe we can get Rafi on as a guest sometime. Yeah, he plays at the Treehouse Cafe pretty regularly, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, Okay. We got to go. Thanks, everybody, for being here. As always, please like, follow, and subscribe. And if anything we've said here today has been helpful for you, please share with somebody that you care about. We'll see you next time.
Bye.